Join us on Happy Looming, where we come together to talk about looms, yarn, and the joy of creating.
Welcome to Happy Looming. This is Christy.
And I'm Janae.
And today we are talking with Kristen Mangus from Good Knit Kisses. Welcome,
Hi, Kristen.
Thank you. I'm so glad to be here.
Kristen, will you tell us a little bit about yourself?
Oh, gosh. Where do I start? Way back when? Kristen Mangus. I started off as an interior designer and found a love for loom knitting. And I ended up teaching on YouTube. And I own Good Knit Kisses. And I teach how to loom knit and needle knit and crochet and whatever else I fall into that I end up enjoying.
That's amazing.
So cool. Oh, we love to follow you. I've been watching your videos for years now, and I love them. You're so good at teaching.
Yeah, me as well. In fact, you are the person who taught me how to loom knit. I am a longtime fan of yours, Kristen. I actually learned how to loom knit from watching your videos. And so I'm really curious, like, when did you start crafting or discover that you enjoyed making and designing things?
Oh, goodness gracious. Well, you know, finger painting when you're two, I don't know. my long story longer. I mean, I started working with yarn when I was a kid, probably eight. I asked my grandmother, who couldn't really do it at that point. She was beyond being able to do that, but a great aunt showed me, but she was too far away. And then I figured out how to, loom knit, but I didn't know it. I was finger knitting and figured it out. Got in trouble in school because when I would finish reading, I would start doing it. And so I'm such a rule follower. I put it down for years because I was like, I got in trouble.
Oh no.
You know? And so I zoomed to like when I got to after my third child, I had bad postpartum depression. And he was born in August. And by October, I was like, Lord, there is something missing and it's not you. What is it? And he's like, you're missing your crafty. And it's so true because even in high school, I was always crafting. Like, I don't know if y'all know Texas, and it's a thing at homecoming to make these huge, monstrous, crazy mums. And my mother and I had this business of making mums for homecoming. They're like flowers with like ribbons and all these
beautiful.
Other things. And
okay.
Yeah. And I used
like
to make,
is it like a corsage?
Like a corsage, but then the ribbons go down to your ankles and there's bells.
Oh,
I didn't know that.
Wow.
Ladies, go to Google and you will not, you will love it and laugh and be horrified. And it'll be fun. Little fun Googling moment. Anyway, or whatever your search engine of preference. So I was always doing that and creating businesses. And it was just sort of this natural thing. And in school, I worked for MJ Designs, which Michaels used to be Michaels MJ Designs, and they broke off. And anyway, I worked the floral counter making bows. That was my thing, and wreaths and stuff. Wow. And then I made a Segway business. So I was always crafting. It's just kind of this, you can't separate me from that. And I had separated myself from that when I got my interior design degree, and I was practicing design, and I just was, oh my gosh, I would come home crying. And my husband's like, what is wrong? And I didn't know. Well, I had a horrible boss, but it just was like,
part of it.
You know, but like I had no outlet. Honestly, yeah. If I had the outlet that I hadn't, you know, stuffed in some boxes and put away, I probably would have been doing this sooner. But postpartum depression, I was like, what are you missing? He's like, you're crafty. I'm like, okay. And then he brought to mind my friend I had reconnected with the year before, and she was always posting knitting. And when I originally saw that, I was like, I could not do that. And then I was like, I feel like I have to do that. That's what I need to learn.
Wow.
And went to the store, and this is in 2010.
Okay.
This is in October of 2010. And so if you look at my channel, you'll see I created it in January 2011.
Okay.
This was like the
beginning. Okay.
Yes. Yeah. Cause that was the videos. But in October, as soon as I started doing it, I was hooked and I created a business name. Cause I was like, well, yeah, we're done. Cause I all started with an eBay gift card. My father-in-law had given me a few years before and $20 of my own personal money. And that was the seed money for Good Knit Kisses.
Wow,
and I
love
haven't
that.
Spent any of my household budget since then.
I love
it
that.
Just became a thing. I even started with black yarn on a loom. Like I
wow.
knew nothing. I was like, oh my gosh, is this so hard? Why is this so hard? And I'm like,
that was my first hat, black yarn.
Yes.
That is so funny. Because I'm like, you know, black, of course. Yes. Black's my favorite color. I wear black constantly. Yes. And so I'm like, what am I going to make? Something in black, obviously.
Obviously, so frustrating. You know, you always see me in colored tops. I always have on black pants and black tennis shoes. Always. And so I was like, of course I'm going to buy black. And you know what I did? The first thing I did, yes, it told me to make a beanie, but as soon as I made the beanie and made a little like tube scarf, I tried to figure out how to make a visor hat. We always try and make things that are too hard for us at the time, but we don't really know. Yep. Like people go, I want to make a sweater, so let me learn how to knit. You know,
like, yeah, yeah.
You don't know what you don't know, but at least you have a goal, right?
I wanted to make stranded knit fingerless gloves. That was my second project.
Totally.
I was like, that's what I want to make. I went from making a hat to
fingerless
knit.
Gloves. Yeah. Here you go.
And you now
figure
have
it out.
Right.
I did it. Yeah. Yeah.
You did it.
You guys are brave.
I didn't know I couldn't do it. That's
a big
thing,
part
right?
of it, right?
I didn't know I couldn't do it. I didn't know it was too hard.
Willing to take the risks, right?
Yes.
It's like, oh, like, well, if I can do this, maybe I can do this. Like, it's, I think that loom knitting has come so far in the last 10 years because of that, because of the innovation.
Yes.
Well, what else can we do on a loom? What else can we do?
Absolutely. Yeah. Well, you know, I'm a big believer in that, especially after battling postpartum depression, because it did so well for me. I did so well coming out of that. I believe that there's something that happens when we connect our hearts and our hands and our minds. Mm-hmm. It's this trifecta. I believe that we were created to be creative. Yeah. And, you know, it's like there's something magical that happens, and it can heal us. But whenever we give it out, it heals other people.
Absolutely.
Definitely.
It's just, it's unbelievable. And some people will say, I'm not creative. I can make these things. Yeah, you're creative. First of all, you figured out how to make the thing. You picked your colors. You did the thing. I don't care if it's
that's
a basic
creativity.
E-wrap stitch. I don't care. You are being creative. And does it help you? Yes. Then you're fine.
Then we're great. Right. That's the whole goal. The goal is to bring. And the other thing is that I think is amazing is most of the time, a lot of the time you're making things for other people. And so that like, cause you can only have so many of your own hats. Right. So then it's like, I've made 45 hats and then you want to give them to people. But the great part is then the service that happens, right. You learn how to do this and then you're giving and then you feel that usefulness and it just expands. I just love that. So yeah. I actually am curious. So you said you began your first YouTube tutorial in 2011. And yes, so I'm assuming when you started, it was just like you doing it yourself, recording yourself. So now we are almost, 10 years later here.
Yeah.
So my question is, do you still do you record all your own stuff and edit your own stuff? Like
I do. There has been some times where I released stuff that someone else edited what I had. So what we did is, I had a series of, where we would take chunks of learning segments from longer tutorials and do a techniques and tutorials small segment and say, hey, this is from a longer tutorial. If you want it, click in the link. And then there would be this small segment because sometimes people are just searching for that one thing and I want to teach all the things, but really they need some of these little things. So it costs more money when I do that. I really should do a few more, but I don't have the time to sit and go back and do it myself. So that was a little pricey. And then I have someone else on my team, but she doesn't edit the videos, but she works my website, the blog, the newsletter. She helps tech edit and write patterns. We're co-writing a
lot.
She's
like
a
technical writer type thing that does a lot of that.
Yeah. I mean, she's become that. She's quite a grammarian and she's very good. People may know her. Joanne Gay is my person and she's lovely and doesn't live anywhere near me. I love that this
virtual world, right?
Yes. Virtual world. And so, yeah, it's perfect. So yeah, that's it. And I got to tell you, let me go back because we've had several people who, Cindy Wood looms, have inspired a lot of people and other looms inspire people to teach And let me just say something to someone who says, I know you weren't going to ask me this, but I was just, I don't know. I feel like someone's going to need to know this. And I feel like I'm supposed to say this. This is how I started. If you look in my old videos and you see this really weird looking tapestry with a paisley design on the background, and it's like dark, and I'm using dark yarn, you're like, what is she doing? And sometimes the background will slide and move. That is the stool to my nursing chair that I was hovering over, and I took a broken tripod and I took a Pampered Chef bamboo spatula that's flat, and then I put my little iPhone 3 on it and I rubber banded them on, and it's cantilevered. And then I would sit hunched over my nursing chair that moves, and I slide as far forward I can, move like part my legs, and I'm hovering, working underneath this, looking through the viewfinder and knitting. And that's my video.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
Like, okay. People are like, I have to buy all that stuff. I'm like, no, just turn as many lights on as you can. Don't use a paisley background. I mean, should I put like a sheet on it or something, or a pillowcase or something? But, you know, I mean, you just do what you got to do. And if you're just trying to help one person, I tell you, this is not about me. My friend Elizabeth Ham, Beth Ham, she designed some crochet stuff, but she originally started her YouTube channel not on purpose. She was trying to help somebody. She just videoed a few lessons just to help someone, teach them, and then left it for a few years. And then she found out she was like this big sensation or something. People kept coming back to her videos.
They're like, wow, you're really helpful. She's like, oh, wow. Okay.
Like, what is going on? Yeah. They're like, I learned from your videos. And she's like, what?
If it helps one person, it's going to help another person and another person. Right. And yeah.
Yeah,
and that why, just expands.
Is that right? Why you started making the videos? Because you said it was like kind of therapeutic to help you get through postpartum. And then you were like, I bought the name and I started making videos. And was that so that you could share that with other people who might be in a similar situation? Or
yes and no. The videos came because of that. But when I first started it, I was like, ooh, I'm going to make stuff and I'm going to sell my items because I feel like I need to make stuff and learn stuff. And I want to, it would be nice to make something from it. And it kind of would motivate me because I just know how I am entrepreneurial. And I started an Etsy channel, went ahead and got an assumed name. And so I had that going for a few months, and I started making some crochet jewelry, and I made a ton of things for my friends and family that year. You know how that goes. And slowly over time, you know who doesn't care for those and being people who do. And anyway, and then I was like, you know what? I am not this marketing guru on Etsy. And my husband was like, could you try and like keep your things digital? And I'm like, I don't know how to make digital, you know? And so I kind of like ignored that. And he's like, well, just do you. If you're enjoying it, do it. Just enjoy. But then I had people who started getting interested, and I was trying to describe what to do. And I was like, I remember, I know this is really awkward to say, but like, I did not understand the really simple instructions that came with the loom knitting book. It was talking about the E-wrap, and then it was talking about looking inside and like the thing inside. I originally thought that the inside of the loom was the right side, because the way it was described, it was like backward to me. My brain like was flipping it. And I've seen other people do that too. In fact, one of the first patterns that I sort of wrote, you actually flip it inside out to get that look.
Okay.
Because I did, because I could see the stitches, you know. If we had invisible looms, it would be great. Plug to Brent. but it was awesome, by the way. But, but you know, it's like you couldn't see it anyway. And then when I started doing the videos, is because I was trying to help people, and I was like, this is actually kind of cool to document. And then I just kept making a whole bunch of them. Also, the videos help me. So a little thing about, I know I'm just totally going on all these tangents, but to something to know about me that I think is important as to some of my motivation. Over 20 years ago, 25 years ago now, I was in a not an accident, like a car accident, a beam hit my head. And and it affected my memory in so much. I changed my major because I completely forgot all my things, and I had a scholarship. Yeah. And like, I knew people, like my current people, but like even some past things and stuff and whatever, it just was different. And like, I used to be this A type personality, like highly organized and stuff. Mm-hmm. I am no longer that. You should see my unread emails. But you know, once I figure out the way I remember how to do it, I really like recording it, documenting it, and a video is the best way for it, especially a kinetic uh-huh. learner like myself, where I have to see things move and hear stuff and mm-hmm. that kind of thing. I have to hear motion and you know, or not hear motion, but you know, and I see that, mm-hmm. Not just a static image in a book. Once I've experienced kind of doing that, I can sort of understand what's written in the book, but the paper doesn't come alive until you learn certain things.
And I think in this day and age, more and more, especially of the younger generation, are so visual, like mm-hmm. everything, like the mm-hmm. it's reading comprehension is actually very difficult for the younger generation. Mm-hmm. I know my kids struggle with it.
Yes.
And so having both, I think, is super important, the visual yes. and the written patterns as well. But
right.
I think
and mine is sound too. Like there's another big illuminating YouTuber out there who doesn't have any sound, and it's written on the thing, and it's I mean, other than having like music. And so there are people who learn that way. But then the reason why I talk so much is because I have to hear all that stuff and all the tips and stuff. And right. I want people to know those things for people who learn like me. So I get a lot of flack sometimes from people like, oh, just shut up and move on already. You know? And I'm like, I'm not the teacher for you.
Right.
You know? Like, I'm not.
And that's
offended.
The beautiful thing, that there is a teacher for everyone. There is a way of learning totally. For everyone. And it's becoming more and more abundant in our, in the looming world. So mm-hmm. people are finding
what works for them, right? What works for them, and expand on
Thank you, Christy. Yes, there you go. Exactly where I was trying to get there.
Get those words out. So, Kristen, you used to do interior design as well. At this point, it's been 10 years, basically. Is Good Knit Kisses your full-time job now? Or
yes, it is. It is. I mean, I will let you in on a secret. For some reason, some people think that I am making what I used to make. No. No, I am not. I also, when I worked as an interior designer, I also earned commission mm-hmm, and mm-hmm. I worked for a company that products I sold also earned something. So like, I'm not at that level mm-hmm. yet. But for some reason, people think that just because you get to a certain level or a certain number or whatever, that you're really raking it in. And I'm like, no.
we get the same thing at Cindy Wood. We'll have people call and they think we're some huge corporation. I'm like, we build looms in my sister's basement. So we're a home-based business. They're like, what?
Yeah.
Like, yeah, sorry. Like, sorry to disappoint you.
By hand, every loom, by hand.
So sometimes it's a pro. Good. Some people find it a pro. Other people are just confused. That's okay. It's all good. I'm like, we hand glue every peg. It's going to take a couple days to dry. It will come to you soon. I promise.
Well, and that's mm-hmm. when you're like, mm-hmm. maybe I'm not the loom company for you. You know, like, yeah, it takes a few years to get to that comfort level to say that sometimes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Because sometimes online people can be very hurtful. Mm-hmm. I had to get a thicker skin.
Being online comes with a lot of pros, but there are some cons.
Yes,
for sure. It comes with some,
I'd agree with the things. Thicker skin. That is and to have a comedic, like, just to like be able to let things roll off your back and look at the bright side of things as much as possible.
And I will freely admit I was not that way in the beginning, because at first I was like, there's like these stages, and I've seen it with other designers or pattern writers too, and video makers, where they're like, kumbaya. You know, that's the first stage is kumbaya stage. You know, uh-huh. I've never said this out loud, but it's like a kumbaya, everybody. party with me. Yeah. I'm like Cinco de Mayo over here. But then you like, you get into this thing where you start doing some stuff and you get some kind of recognition. And then sometimes people will either come at you and say you copied a thing, which is actually not the thing, you know, stitches are not proprietary, ideas are not proprietary. And sometimes we end up inventing something that, the toe sock, great example. Hey, there was an article the other day, Smithsonian, they found this in an ancient dumpster, an Egyptian woolen sock. Guess what kind of sock it was?
A toe up sock?
A toe sock.
Had all the little toes.
With controversy and everything, do you wear sandals and socks? Apparently the Egyptian do. I mean, dude, if it was cold enough outside and all you had was sandals, what are you going to wear? Well, yeah. I want to keep my toes, so I'm going to wear some wool on. And it was nail binding, you know, which is a precluder to like looming. So, yeah. All right, then. Okay, you can't, and nobody can say, I invented a toe sock around here. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And so you get to that stage, but sometimes, you know, you kind of rub and have a little bit of friction with people, and then you can get your feelings hurt or maybe say things that hurt others because you're hurt. Mm-hmm. Hurt people hurt people.
Yeah.
You know, and then once you can get past those stages and realize, you know what, we all have a passion for this. Mm-hmm. Our little community is tiny compared to all the needle knitters,
all
out
the
there,
other
all
fiber
the crocheters. Mm-hmm. There's, I don't even know, aren't there millions of patterns? There's got to be hundreds of thousands of patterns, of just patterns, but stitch patterns has got to be infinite, you know?
Yeah. There are volumes and volumes of books on stitch patterns, and they're still not completely documented. So
yes.
Yeah, there are so many, like whatever your brain can come up with, there you go.
And it's, I think it's exciting that loom knitting is growing as much as it is. Mm-hmm. And there's so much more it can expand into. I think I agree, if we can get past ourselves and just allow the community to just like expand and grow. And
yes,
I love that. Yeah. I love that. So, Kristen, what do you find is the biggest challenge that most people face when like learning how to loom knit or learning how to start a new craft in general?
I think our challenge is ourself. Mm-hmm. I think it really comes down to that, like getting past that. Like I said earlier, you were created to be creative. I just think that if you share your creativity with the world and don't feel limited by the technical aspects of it, you can really do anything. You can figure it out as you go. And I mean, I don't know if that's quite answering the question or not, but I feel like we limit ourselves.
It's probably more of a mental block, right? Than an actual can't do it.
And sometimes it's not just mental. I mean, it's emotional. So sometimes when it's tied up in something like that, I think the best question is to ask yourself is, why do I feel like this? I know it sounds really philosophical and, you know, and spiritual, but really, you know, like we can't get past things in life if we don't ask ourselves those tough questions. Sometimes just saying it out loud. Something happened with me the other day, and I've been on a cane for a year and a half. I did something to my knee, and I was just like making this realization of why was I not going to work out? And I have a gym. I'm able to go, and you can swim because without getting all the COVID stuff, but you can go and do that. And so I was not doing it. I was like, why am I not doing this? Cause I don't want to wash my hair. How stupid is that? Like one, but I had to make myself say it out loud. I don't want to wash my hair. I know this has nothing to do with loom knitting, but it's just my best analogy I can put in, you know, personal aspects. It's like, I said it out loud and was like, oh my gosh.
The technique applies.
It's
like, why am I not making that thing? Am I intimidated, or like, what is the thing that's holding me back? And sometimes when you say something out loud, all of a sudden you're like, that's no longer a barrier.
Exactly. And so Janae, like you can testify to this. So like your first item, did you have mistakes?
100
mistakes. And it's like, there's two approaches. Yeah. And I taught my niece how to knit the other day. And I said, we have two approaches we can do. You can work on it and make all the mistakes and leave them in there and keep going. Or when you make a mistake, I can teach you how to go backwards and fix it right then. Mm-hmm. Neither answer is wrong. Exactly. You need to know that neither answer is wrong, because there are different types of people. There's way more types of things you can do than that. But down to the basics, it's the same thing with loom knitting. Anything you can honestly
reverse and try and fix what you've done, or you can like finish the product and have the mistakes visible.
Exactly. What I encourage people to do is, if you're first learning, go ahead and make the thing and make all the mistakes and finish it up. Set it aside. Do your next one the same way, but now try and undo and fix those mistakes. Finish it up and look at the two things side by side.
Yeah.
You were going to get a boost.
Yeah.
You're going to get
a sense of accomplishment, right? Because you can see what you've done.
Exactly.
And that's what a lot of creatives do, is they will look back at their old work and learn from it. And I think that that is the same with knitting and crocheting or any kind of yarn art that
anything
you try to do. You can always see where you've improved by looking back at what you've done. And if you continually keep going, and what I tell people when they're trying to learn something new, and this is what I had to do myself because I'm so goal driven. I want to finish this thing and I want to have this accomplishment. But if I just breathe, like take a breath before every stitch and just look at what I'm doing and just take it slowly and give myself that permission to do something slowly and not just try to get it done and be the best at it, but take it slow and enjoy every stitch. It's such a different experience I have now when I go to knit. It's very different than what it was before, you know?
And your I'm not hard on myself anymore.
Your attention, your focus has to be better. I'm one of those, like...
No, the tightness of your stitch, your tension.
Oh, the tension. Yes. Oh, yes. Yeah. Definitely.
Well, that too, Christy, your tension in your shoulders and in your stitches.
It's all
affected. Yeah.
It makes it
so what is your most... What are you most passionate about for the looming community? I know that there are some things you're working on, and it's really exciting to me when I heard about it. So I'd love to hear about all these great ideas that you have and what you're hoping will happen.
Well, you may have to feed me a bone on which thing, because I've got a million ideas.
I know your head is full of ideas.
Shoot. Well,
what is your biggest passion right now when you think about the looming community and what we're doing? And
I have multiple ones, but one of the things is I really, really want standardization for loom knitting.
Yes.
And especially while we're small, I think it's a really good thing. But we also need to realize that in the other needle crafts, there's no everybody writing the patterns the same way. So that's not the part that I'm talking about standardization. I think that things like gauges and how we talk about them needs to continually be the same way. We kind of need to get ourselves in line. And part of that is several years ago, I don't know if you guys know, but the Craft Yarn Council, I actually reached out to them. They're the ones that are the they're a nonprofit, and then all these people who sit on the boards at the big companies like Coates and Clark now is with Yarnspiration or Spinrite, which is Yarnspiration's. There's Susan Bates. There's all these different yarn companies and needle and crochet companies that sit on these boards, and then they all kind of feed in and come up with standards. And so I was like, well, let me just go straight to them. And I said, how do we get loom knitting going on where people recognize it? Because I am so tired of people saying loom knitting is not knitting.
Yeah.
I'm like, that's wrong. You know, that's erroneous. And rather than just getting mad about it, I was like, what can I do about it? And so it takes a really long time because they only meet like every 5 years. And I mean, they're there all the time and they're doing things, but certain things only get changed or the initiative
or added
is changed.
Or...
So here's my ultimate goal in that department is I want looms on a ball band.
That would be my goal. Amazing.
Okay. And so, but we cannot get there until we get ourselves together on gauges.
Okay.
Yeah.
And so what I did is, I don't know if you guys know, but I actually have a resource book for loom knitting and has everyone's looms in there. It even has discontinued ones. And we're going to be having one to come out. It'll be at the end of 2020 because we've had a lot going on, but we're trying to make sure we put all the looms that came out this year and take away any ones that are discontinued. And, but what I did is when we started looking at gauges several years ago, we started pulling information, all the information that was all on the web and, coming from different manufacturers and coming up with those standards, and lining them up and making sure they're all using the same language. And, one of the things that I had been talking about, to different manufacturers, and Cindy Wood got on board really quick. And I'm not sure it was because of me, or maybe they noticed that people were asking for it, but putting the gauge and how many, pegs is on the back of the loom. And that, to me, that was really good. And even if it's not the gauge, the right gauge name, small gauge, large gauge, that's part of the thing that I need to say, but at least they put the fraction on there, which is important. Right. The fraction is the most important, but there are different levels, you know, EFG, FG, SG, you know, regular gauge, all those things. Those are important. And I even have in my book, I even have, and it's, you can see it online, but I also show like, what is the appropriate yarn weights for those gauges? What is appropriate needle gauge for those looms? That way, when you're converting things from needles, you can go, oh, okay, so this pattern called for a US 7 needle. Okay, I can use a 3/8 SG small gauge loom. And then this yarn, I can use a medium weight yarn number 4 on that. And then I should be okay. And then it will give you a range of the stitches per inch. And then what you can do is change up your stitch. Maybe it's a flat or an E or a U wrap or whatever to try and get that right gauge and match the needle one so you can move on with your project. But at least, you know, we can get as close as we can without having some second guessing.
That makes so much sense. Where is this book available? Is it available on your website? Is it available?
It's on Amazon. I can, you know what? We're not on video here. If I get up and I'll move,
well,
I'll give you the resource and
people
and
won't hear. People won't be able to see.
They won't be video. Oh, that's right. They're not on video.
Yeah.
We're seeing each other on Zoom right now.
We are. But we'll actually attach a link in the description of our podcast that has the link to that. So if you'll make sure we have that, we want to make sure our listeners can get that resource. Cause I think it's super important and definitely help Cindy Wood, if you want to help us make sure that we have all the right information to you, we want to make sure that our stuff is loaded up in there too. Accurate.
For sure. For sure. Mm-hmm. And it's a self-published book. And you can find it, actually you can find it in bookstores if anybody owned it or requested in your library, because it has the ISBN. I mean, if you guys wanted to have it, you could. Oh, but cool. Once the 2020 comes out, we're going to obviously take the 2019 off, because I want only like the most current. So that's why we're going to do them by year.
Oh, that's
so
great.
So you know you have the most current. But the year is always at the end of that year, because most of the loom manufacturers come out with a lot of things in the late spring and early fall, right? Am I right?
Yes, true. Trueness.
So
that's great. There you go. That is amazing. Okay, so what is your favorite design or project that you have done? Can you pick one?
I tend to make a lot of cowls, and I really hate that this one was so long ago. I've actually been wanting to redo it, or at least make the yarn more current and redo the video. But my Chic Retreat cowl, it's a good one because it's got a ton of stitches in there. It's just a goodie because there's a lot going on. And I did it, I created it for this retreat, and I created it way too hard to be done in a weekend. Because it was all a learning experience, but it's actually a really nice advanced and learning type of cowl, even if it takes you a while, because it takes you some through some beginning things like knitting and purling and making ribbing and then doing the diamond lace stitch, which becomes a staple for so many people, which people also call the figure eight, you know, not the double knit kind, but the flat. And then because it is made the round, but it takes you through a whole bunch of other stitches, including moving some cabling over. And it has this thing called an Indian cross stitch.
Ooh.
Yeah.
And what is that? Oh my gosh. Well, that sounds exciting.
I know. Right. Well, it actually segues me into one of my other passions. One of my other big passions is I really want when people convert stitches from knitting to loom knitting to stop recreating stitch names.
Oh, okay.
It really is frustrating. And not only for me, but it's like, if you see something in loom in needles and you want to convert it to loom, and maybe someone's already done the legwork, you're hurting the loom community because you've changed the name.
Yeah.
And it would be so much more helpful to other people. Now, I get having variations of stuff, but you can still call it the same thing. It's okay. Because even in needles, you can have a couple of different variations or many variations of one thing, you know, but at least it has the similar name, like a chevron stitch. People know what that means. It's something, it's a wavy design.
Well, and it makes it the conversion multiples. So much easier if someone's coming from needle knitting to loom knitting, or if someone another person wants to look at a loom knit pattern and take it to a loom. If we're using the same names across, it's going to be so much easier to extend that.
And it's all knitting. Whether your needles are in a base, in a round base, or if they're, you know, straight in your hands, it's all knitting. And,
and that's what happened with that that Indian cross stitch. So it's a cable that takes three stitches and crosses them with three stitches. But what it is you make them into drop stitches first.
Oh wow!
And then you cross them.
Wow. Okay.
And then you could do twos. You could do pairs of twos crossing. So you've got a four and it goes all the way around in the circle, or you can have it, you know, in a flat panel. And then a couple of rows of ridges of garter stitch or something else. It doesn't have to be, but you could do at least, you know, a row or whatever. I'm trying to remember the exact thing, but I think I had a ridge or something. And then the next time you do it, you offset it.
Wow.
You can line them up too, but when you offset it has a really cool look too.
Okay, we're going to have to put a link to this cowl as well. I know. So that everyone can watch. I'm like, I got to go watch this video now and figure this out. I'm going to learn so much from it because those sound really amazing.
Well, and I've learned so much since I've done that one too, because that's another one of those darker background things that I did. It's not on that stool, but still I was doing these darker backgrounds. I don't know why it was wrong with me, but you know, I figured it out.
You don't know what you don't know. That's the thing, right?
Yeah.
I mean, we're advancing. We're just trying. I think that's what's great is that I feel still at the beginning stages of growing the loom knitting community. And we're kind of like this grassroots effort of expanding and growing to connect all of the looming companies and all the yarn companies. I mean, I think we've reached out to a couple of yarn companies saying, hey, can we want to work with you? And they're like, looms? they don't look at us as like, we're amazing yet. But I think that's what's so cool about it is that we are at the beginning stages. And so we can continue to grow and expand and it is unlimited of what can happen. And you are a big part of that. And I love it. I love that we get to work together and find out the fun things you're doing. So do you have a current project? Like the thing of getting our looms on the bands is huge. That's a huge project that I know is going to take time and your book of having all the gauges. But is there another project you want to mention that you're working on now that you would want listeners to know about?
Well, it's a project that I'll be continuing to add to, but I actually started in January of 2020 and I did a How to Loom Knit series and I started from the very beginning. And the first two lessons or episodes, I kind of chunked them into things like if you look at the lessons, they'll say like 1.0, 1.1, and then I might jump to lesson 2.0 and then 2.1, 2, 3, 4, and then I'll jump to 3. So those different groupings have to do with certain things that I'm teaching. And so in the ones, it's these two overview videos, and I think I have like around 13 questions in each or something. I have a ton of questions of things that you want to know, but you don't know how to ask when you first start, things that even like people who just dive in and then I'm counting on that most people watching this may have made some kind of basic loom knit hat or scarf. But they're like, oh, that's the question I needed to ask. I didn't quite understand that. Or, you know, you don't know what you don't know, right? So like, you don't know how to research for stuff. And while some of the questions are a little bit more advanced for someone beginning, I tried to kind of simplify as much as I can. I don't want to call it dumbing down because I really didn't, but I tried to simplify certain things and I'll say, hey, and we're gonna learn more about this later, but this is what this is, because you know what happens is you start learning stuff and you get in these groups and people start saying all the stuff that's for you at that moment is way over your head.
Yeah.
But you're like, I feel like I should know what this is. And so I really don't want to, I want to kind of demystify some things. It's probably a good word for it. And so anyway, I did this in January. I did these two beginning videos. I really would like more people to watch those because it gives you a baseline for things. It also gives you a baseline. The second one gives, it's like 1.1, I think. It gives you a baseline for, hey, how do I figure out what kind of yarn to put on this loom? I actually have a quick little hack in there. So there's a whole bunch of things. And then if you open up the descriptions in those videos, there's timestamps to jump right to your question. So, yeah. And YouTube has it to where there's chapters now. And I've made them in such a way that where it'll actually show these little, this little red line across. And if you kind of tap on that, it'll highlight the name of the chapter. And I think in mobile, it even like lists all the different ones and you can jump to that part.
Wow. That's fantastic. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So, I mean, I know this is sort of old-ish because we're at the end of 2020 right now recording this, but the, but that, that is a passion project of mine and I will continue to, add to that. And I'm trying to put the best information I can for basics. And then we're going to kind of go to new levels, but I've had people who are more what they consider intermediate, level loom knitters. And they've gone and they're like, I said, just trust me. Can you just watch this for me? And they watched it and they're like, I'm learning new things.
Definitely.
So you can be a super new beginner or you can be an intermediate person. And trust me, you'll learn something because I learn stuff all the time. And I learn stuff from people who just began because I'm like, I didn't think about that before. That's actually a really cool thing, you know? So anyway, that is what I'm working on right now. And I, just so other people know, I do teach how to needle knit as well. And the other passion project is I want to convert more needle patterns over to the loom. So, you know, so I'm up for people asking me about them. And sometimes people want to know what the thing is flat and in the round. So I'm trying to make an effort at that. So if you come on Good Knit Kisses, whether it's a blog or video, and you're like, what is she doing? She's crocheting or she's knitting or something. Trust me, I'm going to have more loom knitting. Just stick with me because I'm teaching to all these people. But as I learn and as I do other things, I make sure that I'm trying to make every effort to do it in loom. And even if you don't see it immediately, I'm still working on it in the background.
It's coming.
It's amazing.
It's coming. Yeah.
Like, well, right and now, I love that. I love that you're helping bridge these different fiber arts so that more people can do them too.
Yeah. Yeah. Like one right here, this is an example. We had someone ask me about the Edelweiss stitch on the needles, and this is a loom knit hat with the Edelweiss stitch. I'm showing them off camera, but it's like these little tiny, tiny flowers.
It's beautiful.
And then here's my little decreased crown at the top. This is made on the flexi loom. But anyway, this is just, it's the example is I have a needle project that looks just like it. And that's the Edelweiss stitch. And what's really fun is I'm learning new things. You want to know a funny thing? Converting loom knitting patterns, when you work the wrong side row on a knitting loom, you have to flip the stitches, knit to purl, purl to knit. On this pattern, I got really blown away because you don't reverse it on this one.
Oh, interesting.
I know. It
How does that
all the
work?
Rules. I don't know.
My brain is like, what? I don't understand this.
Because I started making a, what y'all can't see online, I'm making an example, but I flipped it and it became a different stitch. And so I like the other one. So I'm going to continue it on and we're going to call it for now until I find the right name. If it doesn't have one, I'm going to call it the reverse Edelweiss.
The reverse Edelweiss. Nice. Yeah. I love it.
So fascinating to me right now. Like literally my brain has just been blown away because I cannot comprehend the words that you just said.
I know. Oh, honey, I couldn't either. I was like, this has to be right.
My personal goal now is that I do every pattern that I have. I'm also translating it to needles and loom. So I'm trying to do both of them. And to think that there is a stitch that you do that is the exact same and there's a wrong side and right side that you're knitting on. Like I can't.
I don't know.
And you guys are all speaking French to me because I'm not that advanced. I've never even picked up needles. I'm like, and you guys use needles to do what? No, just kidding. I was in a play in high school.
It's just holding the pegs in your fingers.
I realize that. I was in a play in high school and I had to needle knit in the play. The part I played was a needle knitter. So I went and met with this like 90-year-old woman for like 3 sessions so she could teach me how to knit and purl.
That's awesome.
Throughout the run of the show, I made this really long, very uneven scarf.
Right? And oh my gosh. Amazing. That's so amazing. Cool.
And I have never picked up needles since. So it shows how much it stuck.
Not at all. That's so great though.
Oh, I love that.
Oh, this has been so fun. I am so excited that we got to spend this time talking to you, Kristen. I love
Good
Knit
Kisses.
I feel like
we could do a part 1, 2, and 3.
We could. We could talk forever.
For
we could just keep going. But I am so excited about all the projects that you're working on, and we want to be a part of it here with Happy Looming and with Cindy Wood. So thank you for joining us today. And you're just amazing. Is there anything you want to say to the listeners before we go?
Oh, I'm just happy to be here. I'm so glad that you had me. And I don't know if I have like the perfect thing to say, but stitch your love and love your stitches no matter what they look like. Okay.
I love that. All right. Goodbye, everybody. Happy looming.
Bye. Looming.